dear all, I believe that I need not say any further, but every time when crisis strikes, we will see the best and the worst side of humans. And when this epidemic comes, we will surely see that humans, they have their good sides. For example, we can see that the healthcare professionals, they are very selflessly caring for the patients. And some people at this moment, they give out free masks. And the medias are also trying to give a very positive news to appease and calm people's heart. But we can see the worst side even more obviously. And we can see that at this moment, needless to say, many people, they are snapping up daily necessities and masks. And in Japan, you know that people fight because of the masks. And some brothers and sisters, now you work, you go to work and you face pressure. And some colleagues will give you stress and ask you not to attend church, especially this particular church. And even your relatives may give you pressure. And people will just get far away from you. And so I joke with my co-workers that we need not worry that brothers and sisters will leave the Life Church admissions. Why? Because now we go to another church and the pastor asks you, which church do you come from? If you want to betray your friends and the Lord and say, I have no church, or you confess that you come from the Life Church admissions, then how? So the human capacity is only so much. The human love, the human courage is only so limited. But if you know the Bible and if you know the truth, you will not be surprised. Because on earth, in this sinful world, you can see very clearly, it's not just this epidemic alone. But sometimes when certain crises and problems come, have you ever been through it in the family? If there's a person who is sick for a prolonged period of time, you need to take care of the person for a long time and you have to spend a lot of money. And then at this moment, you see that some family members, they really reveal their love at this moment. And some people, their selfishness is revealed. And in raising a child, as the child gets delinquent, either the husband and wife, they come together united to raise the child well, or at this moment, they will blame each other. So this is a reality. Because this is the nature of a sinful person. And it reveals that we are all like that. And we have seen very clearly. Sometimes in crisis and problems, we can see even more obviously. So my dear brothers and sisters, our ancestors, forefathers, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, can you see that after they sinned, sin entered into their human nature. And at that moment, they couldn't even trust the one whom they love most. And when God came, what did Adam say? Adam said, the woman that you have placed here, she's the one who gave me to eat. And so in his fear and confusion, that's what Adam said. And then God questioned Eve. And in her helplessness, she said that this serpent deceived me. So when everyone was fearful, no one wanted to shoulder the responsibility. And so they revealed the ugliest side of the human nature. But you ask, do they have their beautiful side or good sides? And what is their best side? You answer me. At that moment, their best side of humanity is, although they are very miserable, they still needed each other. Adam and Eve, they didn't separate from each other and say, oh, you go and live with the lions, or I will go and live with the monkey. They didn't do that. They still needed each other. And this is what God has placed in humanity when God created humans. So humans need one another, especially in misery. The woman needs man needs woman. And husband and wife need each other. Parent and children, they need each other. And when we live in a country, in a society, no matter how we don't like each other, we still need each other. So we still need each other. This is because of the need that God has placed within humanity. And because of this need, So we will care about human lives. We will care about human relationships. So you see that people who are critically ill, the healthcare professionals, they will try their best to save. And you see someone who's sad, you will want to comfort that sad person. Because God has given such grace in the human nature. But although we humans need each other, but we know that when we are together, we'll be hurt. And because of the sinful nature, destruction will come. So Adam and Eve, they needed each other. Even after they committed sin, they are miserable, they blame each other, but they still needed each other. But when they were together, every time when they were miserable, they would blame each other. They didn't want to do that. But yet, in their next generation, they didn't imagine that rivalry will appear among the siblings, and one sibling will kill the other. So who can control this sinful nature? Who can control the evil work in this fallen world? No one can control. So they needed each other, but at the same time, they also hurt each other. So sin is a never extinguished evil. So sin is an evil that never goes extinct. And so when sin forms a relationship with human nature, there's only one path, and that is death. There's only one outcome, and that is destruction. And no one can resolve the problem of sin. And so God sent His one and only Son to bear the sins of all people. And His only Son, after He completed redemption work, the Holy Spirit executes the work of salvation such that we can believe in Him because we have heard about His gospel. And because we believe in Him, so the righteousness of Christ takes effect in our lives. So we have the righteousness of Christ in us after believing, but yet we also have the sinful nature. And so from then on, you know that once you have the righteousness of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, then you will be able to put to death the misdeeds of your body by the help of the Holy Spirit. Although you cannot stop the evil intention or thoughts from forming inside you, sometimes you are selfish, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, when you rely on the Holy Spirit, you can put to death the evil deeds of your body. So sometimes when you're angry, you want to scold people. But when you are about to speak, you rely on the Holy Spirit, then you can swallow your angry words. And then in your heart, you find peace and you're calm. And when you rely on the Holy Spirit to think about certain things, you have another perspective. So sometimes when there's a lot of evil thoughts in your hearts, you must put to death all this evil by the help of the Holy Spirit. So although we cannot stop our sinful thoughts and nature, but you can rely on the Holy Spirit to put to death this evil. Although we cannot change certain circumstances or environment, what has to happen will happen. But what did the Bible say? By relying on the one who loves us, we are more than conquerors in all these things. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. So whether in tribulation, in troubles, in epidemic, and when the epidemic strikes, people scolded you, your relatives run far away from you, your colleagues ask you to go away, but by the Holy Spirit, you can still love them, bless them, and pray for them. In that moment, only if you rely on the Holy Spirit. So you need to understand, this is the pure message and faith of the Christianity. This is what we have been learning all this while. Yesterday, some of you knew, I put on my Facebook, I have a lunch with Pastor Wilson Teo from Grace Assembly of God. So we had a dim sum. So I'm very embarrassed, you know, because by the news report, I should treat him because it seems as if our church got his church affected. But he said, it's okay, let him treat us. And so we have a very fun and cheerful lunch. So you know that the Life Church at Missions and the Grace Assembly of God, we are the most popular churches in Singapore right now. So if you are from these two churches, it's troublesome for you to go to the doctors or the school or the work. So if you go to the doctor or if you go to hospital, then they will list down certain places that you have not, you cannot go to within the 14 days, then you can enter the hospital. So when this thing happened, first of all, Pastor Chiu, he was very grateful for the concerns of other churches, people whom they didn't know at first. So we also, we receive a lot of comfort from people whom we do not know at first. But Pastor Teo also said, another thing that makes him very sad is when this thing happened, he saw that many Christians, they reacted in the same way, exactly the same as people of the world. Their fear, their selfishness, it's the same as people of the world. So, let me explain to you why. I can even tell you it is even worse. Why? Because God has given the Holy Spirit to His people. And believers, if we do not know how to rely on the Holy Spirit, then we will be even worse than non-Christians. Why? Because we Christians, we are sheep. You know, we are sheep. We are not wolves or lions. We are not so formidable. So if you don't rely on the Great Shepherd, you cannot survive. Under the crisis, under the blows, you just struggle, you'll be fearful, and all these fears will be exposed. So why is it that God has given the truth and the Holy Spirit to the churches? You've learned the truth in a very slipshod way, or you just want to get to church to get excited. But without the truth, how can you be able to stand firm? Without the truth, how can you rely on the Spirit of truth and be instructed by Him and be strengthened by Him and be anointed by the love of the Holy Spirit? And by then, with that, you can do beyond what your nature can do. And so that is the help of the Holy Spirit. But if you do not rely on the Holy Spirit, you are merely a Sunday Christian and you just go to church, you just want to be safe and secure. And in the Singapore society, it's an elite society. You just want to get first. You just want your children to be fine. And over long, for 9 years, 10 years, you realize that your temperament is even worse than non-Christians. When you go and see God, you are thankful that you just barely got saved, but you got burned up. You know, you just left with the inner garment and just you just get saved scarcely. And so this epidemic, there is advantages and disadvantages. I need not say too much about the downside because it's very obvious. The downside of this, you see that everyone is struggling. Everyone, a lot of people are selfish, no matter who. Whether it's the government departments, whether it's the media, whether it's the people, the public, or the churches. When crisis strikes, of course, we can say that everyone have their own roles, but everyone also just come from their own perspective. They just think from their own angle. So there's biases in their reports. If you're from this department of the government, I'm from another government department, then I care for myself, you care for yourself. So you can see that at this moment, everyone, they will reveal their selfish side, their biased side, and when they grumble, all these unjust things are in the hands of the Lord, and the Lord knows it. But to believers, dear brothers and sisters, we will be able to see clearer. But what is the benefits of this epidemic? It is at this moment you are able to confirm the words of the Bible. For all have sinned. No one is righteous. Everyone needs the Savior. Everyone needs redemption. And at this moment, believers' lives are being refined. Then your love and your faith will be complete and full. And this is the blessings through this. Jesus said, there is trouble on this earth, but I have overcome. So you have to become someone who loves others and with wisdom. God has given us love and courage. Last week I said, when the Antichrist comes, it will be worse than this. If you cannot even withstand this current epidemic, then when the Antichrist comes, who can withstand that? But the one who endures or perseveres to the end will surely be safe. So what is God trying to do right now? So we need to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. So now we will see, we'll share how do we react to certain realities. Some people, so on earth, Christians, we can only love and not curse. We can only bless. But practically, we have some weak temperaments. How do we face them? There are certain realities, certain injustice, certain biasness. We cannot do anything, but how do we face it? So, we have to face the good sides of humans, and we need to give thanks for that. But there's also the worst side of humans, not just in this epidemic, but at work, in the family, there are such things. So how do we face all this? So let's take a look at the Word of God. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, David, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. So it's like David became a leader. So at this time, David was being pursued for his life by Saul. And there is nothing to gain from David. So if you can offer no benefits, who would follow him? But it is those who were in distress or in debt or discontented, they will follow David. So they suffer together and they join together. But you have to know, now, we humans, we cannot just base on all this on such loyalty, because certainly crisis will strike, and when crisis strike, you will see the human character. So as we look on, some incidents happen, and what things were those? We turn to chapter 24. Now those who were following David were also pursued by Saul. So when Saul went after David's life, and they were hiding in the cave, and Saul happened to enter the same cave to relieve himself, and so there's a chance for David to kill Saul. Now verse 4, the man said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.' Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe." So can you see? Everyone in their fear, they don't care about, you know, this is the anointed king of Israel. They just want to kill him because God has promised. So this stemmed from human fears. And in verse 5, afterward, David was conscience-stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." With these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul, and Saul left the cave and went his way. Then David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, "My Lord the King." No, he still addressed him as the Lord and King. And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He said to Saul, "Why do you listen when men say David is bent on harming you?" So there is this situation that arose. And so we knew that David let off Saul twice. The next incident is even clearer. Either Saul died in the battlefield, but David said that I could not use my hands to harm him. And so this is in the Old Testament. Actually, in the Old Testament, David was one character who knew the Bible, knew God the most. And he knew about God's, and God's righteousness and love were in his heart. And he meditated on God's law day and night. So for those of us who always meditate on God's word and truth, you will know at, you know how to react at what point in time. And now let's take a look at chapter 30. I also shared this yesterday. And so what happens here? So David brought his men. When they were about to went out, when they were about to go with Philistines to for a battle, and when they came back to their own town, they realized that their own children and wives were being captured by Amalekites. And so they were full of fears. And so these people, they were just violent against David. And so when David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. So when people are crying, they just cannot see God's work. They only know how to cry. And so when God created humans, this is also a coping mechanism that God has given humans. So some people, they felt better after crying. But you cannot just merely cry. Some people, they just enjoy going to the church to cry, and after going home, they are the same. After crying, you have to understand where is God. And so verse 5, David's two wives have been captured. Verse 6, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. No, he is the one. He's the one who asked us to go out for battle. He didn't care about our families, and that's why our families got into trouble. So when troubles come, you don't care about your former alliance. So it's very clear right now. But David found strength in the Lord his God. David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. So that's worn by the priest. So when the priest wore the ephod, there's two stones, Umin and Tumin. And in the Old Testament, the priest will inquire of the Lord. So in the Old Testament, the Lord will speak to the priest and the prophets. So now David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. And we knew that later on, David was victorious. So what is this passage trying to tell us? When everyone stemmed from their fears and distress, David listened to the Lord in his heart. So in this whole story, what is interesting is in the human nature, there is certain ugly sides, and the sinful nature can bring the ugliness of humans to the peak. So you can see that those who followed David, you can see their violence. What kind of person are they? They were those who were in debt, who were distressed, and who were discontented. So they were like robbers and snatching people's stuff. So they have been in big and small battles. And when they are being shaped under such environment, gradually it formed a very violent nature in them. You know, they just do as they please, and they just care for themselves, fend for themselves. And so their entire temperament is being shaped into something. Their entire temperament is shaped into a very selfish, self-centered, and violent kind. So some people is like that. If you do not listen to him, he will be nasty to you. So those who followed David were people like this. Then you claim that, oh, you are not so bad. You're not like robbers, unreasonable, but you have to know that every one of us, we have our sinful nature. and we are being shaped by this society and this environment. In this Singapore society, we become very materialistic. In this elitist society, we only think for ourselves. We want to be first. And in this society, we become very selfish. We only care for ourselves. And there's many of such things. And we are afraid to lose. And so, dear brothers and sisters, without the Word of God, without the Holy Spirit, and if you do not rely on the Holy Spirit, even if you have the Holy Spirit, then under such circumstances, when you live in this world, you will gradually become what kind of person? And you can see it here. So when the epidemic comes, you will see. Some people, they are very afraid, so they hide at home. So for their whole life, they just want to be safe and secure. Some people, they are very impulsive. They just blame people. Some people, they are very foolish and ignorant. They just spread all kinds of news, whether it's fake or true. And some people, at this time, they want to be in the limelight. They have researched whatever things. So everyone is shaped by his own sinful nature and this sinful environment. And some people's ugliness is very obvious. But some people, they have very hidden ugliness, very, very deeply concealed. But we with the truth, it's very obvious to us. When we look at a person, when we live with a person, look at what he does, and when crisis comes, how he reacts, and who is he jealous of, and then it's very obvious, we can tell it. So the spiritual person can discern all things. But then you look at David. David, he was also in such an environment. He also was among violent people, but he was not affected. First, it is because God's grace come upon David. It's not because of David's greatness. No one is noble. Just when you think that a person is very noble, one day when he became king, he committed adultery. Then second reason, in Psalms, just now we read that David, he delighted in the law of the Lord and meditate upon it day and night. So he not just know about God's grace, but he also loves God's truth, and he always meditate on the truth of God. Then for such people, very amazingly, when crisis strikes, at that moment, it is not his own goodness that is revealed, because there is no goodness, no good things in him. And his own goodness cannot withstand the pressure of the environment also. And so, but such a person at that crisis moment, he will be able to rely on God, and then you will see how God works. And then he will say, we cannot touch God's anointed one. And even though this anointed one, he wanted to take my life, but I just address him as my Lord, my Master. Why do you listen to the words of the evil man? Why do you want to kill me? So the story of David is very moving, but do not just treat it as a story. Actually, it's the same thing that's happening to us among this, in the midst of this epidemic. And you can see many things carefully when this epidemic unfolds. And God says, those who persevere and rely on the Lord to the end will not be put to shame. And so when God has given redemption to His people, God has also given us the Holy Spirit as a seal. So the Holy Spirit will help us even in the toughest problem, even in the most grief situation. And then Holy Spirit's love will anoint us, and one day, 2 days, it will pass. And some things you will just treat it as light and momentary. Some people, they are very weak. They keep criticizing you. And you will be able to take it, and you will be able to be alright with it. So this is the love and courage that comes from above. And as you hear the Word of God, more and more of these virtues of God will be revealed. So it is not very good for the churches to keep stopping meetings. Yesterday, the pastor asked me, how was the church affected? And he asked about the church attendance. So I look at the last week's attendance is about three quarters of the people returned. So he was amazed because some churches with no single case found among them, their attendance dropped 50% or 30%. So this is not so good. And so he also mentioned that now it's increasingly a trend for the church members to go online to worship. But you need to understand that not everything online is correct. So when everybody likes to go online for the message, but there's no interaction and protection from brethren, it's not good. Because as you listen to a lot of things on the online, you cannot discern what is the true and false gospels. So we still have to continue meeting in church. No matter what, saints must meet. But everyone have different situations, so we can understand that. So we do not force anyone to come to church. But you can pray before God, and this is about your faith and your insights before God. So, those who trust in the Lord will not be put to shame. And this is the gist of David's story. So after hearing this story, let us now reflect and think about how do we face the virtues of humans and the ugliness of humans. So that is the theme for today's message. So let's think about it together. Should we talk about the good or bad things first? Everybody likes to talk about the ugly side. But let's start with the virtues. I don't know whether around you are there relatively good persons with kindness, with courage. But you have to know, where do all this come from? It surely come from God. After humans sin, under God's common grace, He never left humans. God still gave common grace. And in the common grace, God still permits some good virtues to remain in human lives. So, relatively, humans have justice, or there's a relative love to care for the sick and the needy. But it's all relative. You have to understand that. We see that some people who are not even Christians in the world, the virtues on them may even surpass Christians. So some people, they just feel very embarrassed. So I've mentioned just now, this is the grace of God. This is a common grace of God. So there is this example in the Bible, and he is Cornelius. You can look at Acts chapter 10. So in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, he's a Roman centurion, and all along he had been giving generously to the poor, and he also prayed to God, but he didn't know the salvation of Christ. But and one day, angel appeared to tell him that God has already seen your gifts to the poor, and God has remembered your prayers to him, and now you should send people to bring Peter, and Peter will share a very important news concerning all people and concerning salvation. He will share that with you. And so from here, we will know that God also acknowledged the goodness of some non-believers. And this also come from God. So there's healthcare professionals taking care of patients, and there's also social charity causes, and the wisdom of the government. All these will exist. But you have to remember that even if a person has goodness, but when the person hears the gospel and he rejects the gospel and he says, "Thanks very much, I do not need this. I myself know how to help people, how to love people, how to be a good person." Then his goodness is a kind of pride in the eyes of God, and it becomes a form of ugliness in God's eyes because he is self-righteous. So we cannot say that God denied the goodness of humans. God also acknowledged that under His common grace, some people, they are indeed good. And God also used those common good to sustain the society and the world. So first thing, when you encounter people doing good to you, have you encountered such things? Do you only face bad people in your whole life? We don't mention those who are sick in the hospital right now and being taken care of by the healthcare professionals. I remember last time when I brought my children when they were young and they took the aeroplane, and then the air stewardess, they see that my children, they were so young and cute. Then they took a business class gift and present it to my child. And it feels very good. So I feel very nice in my heart and very grateful to the air stewardess. So first of all, when we see that people were so kind to us, in our hearts, we need to be thankful to the person because they are also considered as the messenger from God to be kind to us. But second, you have to understand, because He is kind to you and you are servant and child of God, then you, what must you do? You must know that when the person gives you such a gift, but inside me, I have the best gift, which is the gospel. So I should, if I have the chance, share this gospel with the person. It's not just receiving His gift and say thank you. So many people, many Christians, they didn't do this. They were just very happy to meet very good people on earth, but they didn't give God the glory. Indeed, there are good people in this world, but if you have the chance, you are also willing that they can know the gospel. Your yearning for Him to know the gospel, this yearning comes from the Holy Spirit. If you are someone who lives by the Spirit, you will really want to give the person the best, which is the gospel. So this is the second point that we must not neglect. Of course, sometimes when you want to give Him the gospel, you cannot merely share theory with the person. You also need to treat him kindly. You need to think of ways to help the person. For example, if some of us here are landlords, some people, after coming back from China, people will drive them away. You must not be so subjective. You know, they are not just coming back recently. They have come back for 20 days, 30 days. You must receive them. And in your heart, you need to seize the opportunity to bless people. This is what Christians should do. And third, we must remember. Sometimes when you see non-believers treating you well, in your heart you must be reminded. Do not feel guilty that His kindness and virtues is even better than mine. That is God's grace also. But in your heart you must remember that, oh Lord, that you have given me something which is holier than His goodness, and that is the Holy Spirit. So I must try my best to rely on the Holy Spirit to do beyond what I can do. So sometimes God uses the goodness of non-believers to remind Christians so that we will not be affected by the materialism, elitism, etc. of the society, and will not be affected by all these things. So sometimes we get reminders, and then we realize that it's been a long time since I've been kind or caring towards others. I've been only thinking about myself, my children, my family. So indeed, Christians, many a times when we were weak, when we were so weak, God even used non-believers to remind us. But the non-Christians, they do all these good things by their own humanity, but we must rely on the Holy Spirit to do it. So when you face the world's and the people's virtues, that's how we should react. And now we talk about the ugliness. So let's mention some of the ugliness. So when we face human ugliness, the Bible also clearly says that the most basic nature of our humanity is to pay an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But the Bible tells us that you shouldn't be doing that. If people take your outer coat, you even give him your inner one. We must not repay evil with evil, but we must overcome evil with good. So when we face the utter ugliness of humans, whether at work, in a family, or with our relatives, when people talk about money, when people just go after money, or people just want to be in the limelight and only care about their own interests. And so in this epidemic, when you see the ugly side of people, and you never imagine that your close ones, your families will be like that, but you must remember, when human ugliness was first exposed, the first thing you need to do is to guard your heart not to sin. That's the first thing you should do. Because the moment you fail in this, you cannot carry on next. Because when people spit evil words to you and do evil things to you, and for their own interests, they do not care about your interests, in your heart, you will have these grievances and bitterness. And then your heart will think, am I wrong to even be angry? We Christians, we encounter such situation, do we still need to laugh it off? It's not that. The Bible tells us, can we be angry? Yes, we can be angry, but in your anger, do not sin. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not be angry until the sun goes down. And so this is very important. So we believers, we are angry because God is holy. And when the holy God faces sin, there's surely righteous anger. So when believers see something that is unjust, you will have to talk about it. But when are you going to say it, and in what manner are you saying it? This one you must rely on the Holy Spirit. So in the church, if there's some injustice, then we need to have love and wisdom to make it right. As a leader, if you do not have righteousness and justice, then people below, they will feel the grievances, and those grievances will reach up to heavens. And in the family, if you are the parents, you have three children, if you are not just and you are just unfair, when they grow up, they will not have good relationship. They will hate each other. This is because of the biasness of the parents. So, yes, we can have holy anger, but after a while, you will not let the anger continue to grow over 2 or 3 days until you become a bitter root. Gradually, you will see this matter lightly, and you will know that God will resolve. And in whatever things you can correct, you must correct. So that is the first thing. In your anger, do not sin. You must know how to guard your own heart. And sometimes when you really dislike a person and he just get into trouble and then you gloat over him, this kind of things, you better get rid from your heart because it's very evil and bitter. Even if your enemies, they fail and they got bankrupt, in your heart, do not be fake. But in your heart, you really need to ask God to have mercy on them. We who are pastors, we know this. In the church, there are people who really love the Lord. They are just ordinary people. And there's another group of people who really hate the church. But in your heart, you need to really get the love from God. In your anger, do not sin. Because God loves everyone. If it's God's sheep, God will love everyone. Just like each and every one of your child are different. So you must get the heart of God. In your anger, do not sin. You must guard your heart. And second, when you face human ugliness, you must remember that God will surely take vengeance. So you need to leave room for God's wrath. So leaving room for God's wrath means you understand that God has His ways. When God corrects some things, He can do it from different angles. So when there's injustice, if you immediately want to resolve, it may not be good. For injustice, it will be gradually revealed and exposed because there is sin and injustice, and eventually there will be certain consequences. For example, yesterday, when I was talking to Pastor Teo, He said, nowadays, as long as there is a certain case, you'll be attributed to us. As long as it can be linked to us, you'll be linked to us. In my heart, I also think that's the case. Even if you contracted it in the market, then, but as long as you're a member of the church, you'll be linked to the church. So they will surely wanted to find a link to China so that everyone will be peaceful. They don't care whether this person is a patient, but we have to answer and be accountable to the public. So we who are in this situation, we know it may not be so fair, but it's alright. It's because right now, it's to calm the nerves of people. Now every government department is tough. Some people you have to be accountable. And so we have to understand all these things. But in my heart, I will know. If the conclusion they reported is not right, you will know that this epidemic cannot be controlled, cannot be contained. There'll be new cases. So some things God will do. So we as Christians, we must be wiser than people who are wise in the world. Because we know that above humans there is still a God, and this God is wise. So Christians, when we look at certain things, we must be very objective and do not get so intense and absorbed into it. So we can just share, but whether people buy it is their business. So we who are leaders or pastors, or we are wise Christians following the Lord, we must be very wise and prudent in this area. So we must leave room for God's wrath. Because when a crisis happens, everyone's ugliness will be revealed. And when everyone's ugliness are revealed, then how do we respond? And third, when we face this, especially when we see human ugliness, we need to learn from David to keep seeking the Lord. Those beside him keep wanting to wanting to kill him, but do not face that. If many people as leaders, they get defensive and say that, why do you blame me? You're also willing to follow me. It's no point quarreling with them at this moment, because when humans' sins were revealed, you need to seek God and ask Him for the next step. And when you submit to Him, your faith, your courage, your love will come. And God will open way step by step for you to be victorious. And those who wanted to kill Him became grateful to Him. You know, thank God that you're around. So people of the world, they just fluctuate very easily. So see, if the church didn't resume meetings, then how can believers get calmed down and become stable? So when epidemic comes, all kinds of ugliness will appear. But we believers, we just find strength from the truth and find comfort from it. So I've finished point two of this message, and I've shared about God's grace and wisdom. Please pray and reflect more. Do not just apply this to the epidemic, but apply this to your whole life's journey. And finally, what I want to touch on is the lesson of faith. Why must I talk about the lesson of faith? Because when we face human virtues and the human ugliness, we will realize that when this epidemic comes, people can know the theory, but when they are to face the realistic situations, they need faith. Especially when there's a challenge such as the epidemic, they need faith. Just like today, you come to church, you also need faith. It doesn't mean that if you don't come, you do not have faith. But here, I understand what the Bible says. In matters of faith, you just live up to what you have already attained. And so this is a very important verse. You must know that even faith comes from God. Situations were also permitted by God. But at that moment when God gave people faith, what's the extent of the faith? With whatever degree of faith you have, you just live up to what you have already attained. So let's take a look at Philippians. This week, God gave me this verse which is most relevant. And so, chapter 3, verse 13, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Meaning, I do not consider myself as perfect. Although he has said that I've treated Jesus as of surpassing worth, but he said that I do not consider myself to be perfect, even though I've come to this point. So every believer is growing in their faith. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature means those who are willing to submit to God, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. So this verse tells us that God has given people different degrees of faith. So in the book of Romans, chapter 14 or chapter 12, over there it says, it tells us to think of ourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of us. So think of yourself with sober judgment. So you may have differing degrees of faith, but you must think of yourself with sober judgment. If your faith is very little, you must not say that I do not like people to say that my faith is small, and you just claim to have faith, you know, and you just go that direction. You must not be like that. You must know the level of your faith. If you indeed do not have enough faith, you are shaken and you are fearful, then you can invite pastor and the brethren to pray for me so that I can restore faith. If you react like that, then thank God because your faith will continue to grow. Because if you do not think of yourself soberly, that means you still have a bit of pride. Or another kind, you do not have faith, and when you didn't think of yourself soberly, if you think of yourself soberly, you will think, if I do not have enough faith, then I don't judge too much, because I know the way I look at things is affected by my little faith. So, for example, if the church want to resume meeting, then you objected to it and say that, how can you have meetings and gatherings in this situation? But there is a lesson of faith. If you yourself cannot come to church, but you must not stop others from coming to church. And I can even tell you that faith is so personal that if you cannot bring yourself to come to church and you object to your spouse coming to church, this is also wrong. Then you say, this person lives with me, then how? So you have to be responsible for yourself. God says it's the best and safest way is for you to take responsibility for yourself. So pastor will never force any one of you to come to church. There is the altar of God. There is the gathering of brethren. There is the word of God. Perhaps more people are receiving the message online more than people physically here. But the important thing is you need to think of yourself with sober judgment. And so if you have great faith, you must not judge those with lesser faith. You know, this person is without faith. The person didn't even come to church. But if you have great faith, you must use your greater faith to support those with weaker faith. So you just need to live up to what you have already attained. And it must start from you looking at yourself. You must think of yourself with sober judgment. And then second, when the Bible talks about faith, it talks about forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. And so some people ask, how can our faith grow to the extent of your courage, your love, your faith? Then you must remember what I'm going to say now. Faith is given by who? It's given by God. And when will God give? You don't know. Maybe after hearing this message, you will develop faith. Perhaps yesterday when you read the newspaper, you are very fearful. But this morning when you wake up, you're better. You know, maybe last week, some of you find it hard to come to church because some family members are still objecting and you have no power to overcome. But this week, you have this burning desire to come to church. And so you can understand, you know, Paul said, yesterday is yesterday, today is today. Today, God is doing new things and who knows? So just forget what is behind and strain towards what is ahead. Do not just think about what happens yesterday or last week. Nothing is cast in stone. God is leading everything. How do you know what will unfold ahead? So you must not say, I certainly will not go to church or I certainly will go to church. Faith is to test and approve God's will and follow God. Yesterday, you may have certain setbacks or you were weak. Do not look at that. Or yesterday, you made certain bold proclamation. Also, do not look at that. But today, God has given you new faith and then you just follow. So such a person will not be proud because he will know that everything is the work of God. And finally, the faith surely comes with the object and target of faith. So there must be a goal. And what is the goal? What is the price that Christ prepares for me? So what is the price that Christ gives you? And that is, in future, when you go back to heavenly home, your entire life, your heart, how much do you look like Jesus Christ? So when you go back to heaven, the glorious beauty of your life, your selflessness, your love, your righteousness, and in facing all things, the virtues which you manifested is the same as Jesus, and that will be how glorious you will be in future in eternity. So right now, in such trials, maybe at work, your colleagues are giving you pressure. Some of you are businessmen. Those who are having hotel business or doing facial business, you feel the pressure. If your company name is being published on the newspaper, you will feel the stress. But you just treat this as the lesson to learn Christ-likeness and to press on toward the goal. And He is my example. So you only bless and not curse. With such life, you entrust everything to God. And when you find certain things unfair, you bring it to God. And God will work. Frankly speaking, we don't need all the churches of Singapore to be like this. In history, it's always only about a few people transforming. A few people knowing the heart of God. And when they pray in that way, God will turn the whole era around. From beginning to end, my message has always been like this. Follow the will of God, receive the heart of God, and God will work through the person's prayer. In this epidemic, I've already shown you what? That the Life Church and Missions, we are a very small church, but we got infected. And after the infection, we thought it's over, and this week we hear one or two more cases among us. So you see that when the evil work of the enemy keep coming, yet we have another victory. Yesterday when I lunch with Pastor Teo, we confirm our victories together. And even the media, they took some reports from us and they spread. But I know that the media will only report based on their own angles. They will just write their own stories. In my heart, I know it's always like this. Many times they don't really care about people's feeling. The day before, I saw that they published a story about the Wuhan couple. I didn't know how did they find their residential address. I don't know this couple, but they just interviewed this couple. How are the two of you? So they don't really want to answer the media's question. This elderly, they just recovered, and then this media keep disturbing them. So can you imagine the guilt of these elderlies? And because of this, co-workers wanted to find the contact of the Wuhan couple, not to do anything with them, but to tell them that the church accepts them. So yesterday, the day before, and even up to this morning, I've been exchanging texts with them, and they were very thankful to get our understanding. And so I told them that I welcome them. Even if you want to come, we welcome you. But I told them this Sunday, the reporters will be coming. They say, we are not afraid of the reporters, but we are afraid of causing you even more distress. So I told them it's fine. But they say they have a lot of pressure. So the media just want to get some stories from them. So yesterday, Pastor Teo said, we have found the Wuhan couple. Then the Pastor Teo said, you should ask them and we should all take a photo together. But from the pastor's perspective, the Lord told me, if you have 100 sheep and one goes astray, you must bring back that one. If two persons were among us, they were also not aware that they have the virus, and they sat here. And then now that when there's cases in the church, everyone is being attributed to them. So I understand that they are trying to calm people. I've also studied politics. I know this is how the country works. But as a pastor, the two couples, they were just ignorant and they were very guilty and they were miserable. I need to set them free first. So I told them, you are welcome to attend this church anytime. The whole church will be welcome. Although pastor is going missions soon. So if they come, please clap for them. So because of this current situation, the Singapore allowed them to stay 3 months more. So these two elderly, they were worried about their daughter and children here. So therefore, from my perspective, in all things, learn about the Lord. So politics, they look at the big picture. For the majority, they can sacrifice the minority. But church is what? The Lord's teaching is for that few people, you can let the majority see the love of the Lord. So no matter what, the church is different from the world. Of course, everyone is willing to love, but whose love is nobler? Of course, the love of the Lord is greater. So the Lord will even find the one lost sheep, such that the 99 other sheep, although they were not lost, but they will rejoice because of the lost sheep being found. You cannot just say, Lord, you cannot just say we already have 99 sheep and let the one sheep die. So when I say it like this, you will understand. So this epidemic is a good chance. I really have a lot of things to share. I really want all people to hear and understand. But I have no opportunity to say. But now I have this conviction to say. So this epidemic is a good chance for me to share my convictions. So no one can hinder the mouth of the preacher. Because the mouth of the preacher is important. You can even shut rain with our prayers. But actually, importantly, we need to spread the gospel of God, that God loves people and save people. And if you believe in this redemption, eventually you will not be put to shame. In your adversity, you'll be brought out. Amen. Let's all pray. Lord, we want to thank you for using your word to teach and to admonish us. And you help all of us, brethren, to discern good and evil at the spiritual level. Lord, we thank you and may you receive all glory. May all glory be to the Father in heaven, to the Lord who has given us the Holy Spirit and the truth. And today, after hearing your word, we've understood many things. We also know that our days on earth are limited, and we need to live out Christ. So Lord, please help us by the Holy Spirit. Because without the help of the Holy Spirit, we cannot go beyond our nature and capacity. May your name be glorified among churches. And in this epidemic, Lord, please refine the churches and refine the hearts of believers so that your bride is like a virgin, pure virgin. Lord, we thank you and give you all glory. Lord, we also pray that you watch over those who are at home for various reasons watching the live stream. Lord, please quickly bring back our brethren to among us. And some of us, we face the pressure from our family, our bodies have certain issues. Lord, we have different problems. Please help us. And in their problem, please reveal to them. And Lord, we thank you and we pray in Jesus Christ's gracious name. Amen.